아래
Good evening. Last week we looked at the practice of giving and taking. And there were five steps in the meditation where first one recalls the tremendous qualities and kindness of one's Lama and makes supplications for the success of this practice. With this open mind, one then reflects first on compassion, generating the desire, may all beings be completely free of suffering and pain, and then engages, thirdly, in the meditation on taking on all the suffering of others. This is fourthly followed by the meditation on love, the wish may all beings abide in happiness. And this then is followed by the practice of giving, where one gives of oneself to others, in particular all one's virtue accumulated through one's physical endeavors, verbal communication, and ways of thinking. So, and then finally, one sees all beings as having attained a state of freedom, free from suffering, and in abiding in lasting happiness. So now we'll come to the next verse, which is looking at how to transform adverse conditions into the path.
This
is the 96th verse. Since the world and its beings are full of the fruits of our evil, and unwished for sufferings pour down like rain, please bless me to take miserable conditions as a path, by seeing them as causes to exhaust my negative karma. Also, to read the newer translation, which is in the retreat prayer book, even if the environments and beings are filled with the fruits of negativity and unwished for sufferings pour down like rain, I seek your blessings to take these miserable conditions as a path by seeing them as causes to exhaust the results of my negative karma.
One
transforms adverse conditions into the path through engaging in the practice of taking and giving. And this is done through the methods relating to the two different types of bodhicitta, that of conventional bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta.
And
那几个咱不领，俺这个年纪这么大，咱也年纪这么大，刚刚这个用到的生活嘞，就是当俺们做了开源工作三年，年里啊，俺那个在几个，俺就搞不了啊，那差不多就该差不多多少了，嘛家伙去，俺那差不多嘛家伙干不起，啥吃啥干，顿顿嘛家伙吃了，说嘛家伙，俺那天天给刚刚几个工作了哇，天天俺那搞不了呀，差不多把呀忙差些，差不多见见嘞，俺那几个你几个俺都顿到吃上吃了，当呀当扛不住了，当米里米当顿着当，生煎当，俺那就吃上来，你是穷呀个，刚刚刚刚差不多多少了，嘛家伙见见干不起来的呢，米当生煎当，俺那顿到当吃上呀，刚刚刚刚的那几个没把水呀当都是些嘞，你说嘛我一个人哇，俺弟妹别个啥用家伙呀，俺那几个没需要呀，
first line. So the first two words in the Tibetan, in the old translation is world and its beings, and in the newer translation, environment and its beings. So these two words are literally the container, like a vessel, and what is contained within that vessel. So looking at that first word then, which we have translated, which is like the container, and means the world or environment. So this refers to the unwanted circumstances that relate to our world or our environment, such as when it hasn't rained for an excessive period of time and a drought is experienced, or conversely, when it rains far too much and there are floods, as well as other natural disasters such as bushfires and earthquakes. These relate to the world or the environment. This is something that we have not only our own direct experience of, but have observed as well, that suffering arises from our world or our environment, such as sufferings of hunger or thirst or illness, from the condition of the world, of the natural environment. In the newer translation, there's also the phonetic, so just to refer to that, the first word, ne, that refers to the container or the environment, which we've just spoken about. And then the second word, che, so this here then refers to, or chu, sorry, these refers to the beings which are contained. So we have here, and beings, or sentient beings. So these are the beings within the world, within the environment. So this then refers to their afflictions and the resulting activities of their afflictions. Because it's the arisal of the afflictions that causes beings to suffer, as well as then the expression of that, the various non-virtuous activities, verbal and physical activities that follow from the afflictions. Whether it's the afflictions are expressed through killing and warfare, taking advantage of others, acting in a deceitful way. Here, the second term of sentient beings refers to the afflictions and their the activities that are motivated by the afflictions.
And in the
This too we experience and we observe in the world. The conflict that we observe, whether it's within the home, within its communities, or between nations, this comes from afflictions. So too does corruption and stealing, sexual assault, all these non-virtuous forms of behavior, they are compelled through, or they come about through, the afflictions, attachments, pride, anger, and so forth. First line in its entirety, since the world and its beings are full of the fruits of our evil, or this word evil is better translated than newer translation, negativity. So this shows that all suffering arises from causes and conditions, and such as the causes could be to do with the environment, or to do with the afflictions on the continuum of sentient beings. These are the causes of our suffering are to be found.
All
this negativity that is experienced, or these fruits or results of negativity, refers to the negative karma that has been accumulated in past lives. Those are the causes of our suffering. So again, the fruits of our evil, the fruits of our negativity, this word fruits, is literally the word, again you have it in the first line, drebu, so that's the word for results. The results of our negativity. So the negativity we have here noted, the fruits of our negativities that refers to then the non-virtuous karma. So it should be here dikpa, there we go, the third word, dikpa. So that is the negative karma that we have accumulated in our past lives. That is what leads to the suffering we experience now.
In
the second line, and unwished for sufferings pour down like rain. Here, the reflection is that suffering is experienced continuously and relentlessly. What changes is the strength and the way suffering is experienced, or the type of suffering. But it's like being caught in a powerful thunderstorm that we cannot avoid getting wet. So too, the experience of suffering relentlessly beat down on sentient beings, all of whom have no desire to suffer. Whatever class of being one may be, a human or an animal or an unseen being, no being wishes to suffer, but suffering beats down on us like rain.
What
we've seen in these two lines is that as long as one remains trapped within the realms of samsara, one is going to suffer. And the sources of suffering will be from the environment or the afflictions of sentient beings. One will suffer. It is to be expected because the causes for suffering have been accumulated, and if the cause is accumulated, the result will follow. So hearing this, it's possible that one may become quite narrow-minded and tight-minded, thinking that there's nothing to be done. And this is actually how most people, in a sense, relate to the suffering that they experience. It's very common when people experience suffering that their mind becomes greatly disturbed, thinking, for example, why does this happen to me? Why does this keep happening to me? And in this way, enhancing the suffering that they experience. For example, right now, if we, or at any time really, one watches the news, one's mind can become very disturbed and fear and anger may arise about the plight of the world, so too about one's own individual financial situation. When if one's having difficulty to take care of oneself or those that one is responsible for, thinking, being narrow-minded or having a narrow-minded approach to this just serves to increase the strength of our suffering.
Here in this
verse, we look at how to deal with the experiences of suffering that will come our way. The first method is to generate love, compassion, and bodhicitta. Having accepted the inevitability of unwanted experiences coming one's way, because the causes have been accumulated, we look to what we can influence, and that is our reaction to them, our way of relating to them. And that is that when problems come, transform them into the mental path of the mind of enlightenment, the mind that is focused on the achievement of Buddhahood. And this is done through to relating to problems with love and compassion. And it's love, compassion, and bodhicitta that transform what otherwise would be suffering experiences into the path of enlightenment, into the mind that is focused on achieving enlightenment. This is how problems are transformed into the path. And the next two lines present how to meditate in order to transform suffering into unwanted experiences into the path through the methods of love and compassion, or here we'd say conventional bodhicitta. So then looking at the next two lines, please bless me to take miserable conditions as a path by seeing them as causes to exhaust my negative karma.
On that, the
那等下明天早，晚上就是特别些多。在那个刚刚学完呢，刚刚写下来，他们搞了刚什么有的搞不了，这节目明显完了，这背后的是毛病呢，那节目要么才写出过，要么才过的。那毛病呢，在那个他们在那个行业里面，这个刚刚去拿了红头发，搞了刚刚节目可能低了多啊，才过的。就是，今天早，今天连叫我们连个没节目的，那俺们明天呢？
The third line in the Tibetan is the fourth line in our English. So I'll read just from the newer translation because it has one additional word which is in the Tibetan but not in the old translation, which is the word results. By seeing them as causes to exhaust the results of my negative karma. So this then ties in very closely with what has been said thus far, which is that sentient beings experience suffering due to the causes that they have accumulated in past lives. Those karmic seeds have been accumulated and will ripen. So here, the way we transform this unwanted, the suffering experience into the path to enlightenment is by recognizing that this suffering that I'm experiencing now has come about independent on non-virtuous actions performed in the past, and thereby there was an unwholesome or a non-virtuous karmic imprint on my continuum, which now has ripened into the suffering experience. It has ripened. It is exhausted. I will not have to experience this again. It is eradicated. I will not have to experience it perhaps in a far worse way, such as in the lower realm. It is exhausted. So thinking like this, recognizing that a non-virtuous karmic imprint from the past, accumulated in the past, is now exhausted, makes the mind lighter, more joyous, and thereby the suffering is transformed.
This
then is explicitly referring to the suffering that one oneself experiences, and therefore recognizes that that karmic imprint that one oneself accumulated has been exhausted.
And 今天没把今天，但是明天他们就中午的查房上班的，嗯，聚集，那一刚刚刚刚在这些，今天刚刚这些吃饭，怕晒伤上班的，我都今天没把接过面的，是不啦？
The first point there was about how to relate to suffering experiences or unwanted experiences that one oneself experiences. Then in terms of, now secondly, how to relate to what we observe in the world. When we see others suffering or we see awful environmental problems, compassion naturally arises. There, focus on your compassion, strengthen it, recognizing that beings are suffering, and they're suffering because they are bound by their afflictions, and they will continue to suffer as long as they are bound by their afflictions. And moreover, their afflictions serve also to blind them to the causes behind that lead to their suffering, as well as the subtler levels of suffering, not just the obvious manifest suffering, but also the subtler levels of suffering. So reflecting like this, compassion arises for suffering mother beings, recognizing that whilst I may be only observing one word or one being, one suffering being or a particular group, all ordinary beings have causes to suffer in this way on their continuum. In reflecting like that, one's mind, or the object of one's mind, becomes vast. Here, take your compassion and develop it further still. Take it as your own individual responsibility to skillfully guide beings to abandon the causes of suffering and gain freedom from suffering. Take that as your own responsibility, and in this way, generate the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility. Then, now having meditated on compassion and altruism, the third sub-point here is to engage in the meditation I mentioned last week as well, which is to take on their suffering. So here, these two meditations were also presented last week. You generate compassion, and then you take on the suffering, dissolving it into your body, and imagining that beings are liberated from suffering. And they abide now in an environment that will not produce or lead to the experiences of suffering. So in this way, the way one transforms suffering onto the path by first generating compassion and the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, and secondly, engaging in a meditation of taking. Just as in the meditation presented last week, the meditations on compassion and taking are followed by the meditations on love and giving. Generating love, which is an attitude of close affection, a feeling of tenderness towards all beings. One generates the wish, may this kind, tender, this kind mother sentient being abide in lasting happiness. May they only know physical and mental joy and pleasure, experience no pain. So here we generate love for beings, and we don't, just like in the previous meditation, leave it as a mere wish for others to abide in lasting happiness. No matter how sincere that wish is, we don't leave it as a mere wish. We generate the determination that it is my responsibility to ensure that all beings accumulate the causes that will lead to lasting happiness. So this then is generation of love, an altruistic attitude, and thereafter one engages in the practice of giving, where one gives all one's virtue that has, one has accumulated through our past lives and in this practice, as well as committing that all the virtue that one will still accumulate, one will do so for the sake of others. One will have the needs of others first and foremost in all one's activities, and that virtue that one accumulates, one does so so that it can ripen on their continuum. So this then is the meditation on giving. One concludes this part of the meditation with the aspiration, may the environment in which beings abide, may it be an environment that is pleasant or pleasing to abide in, from which no pain may arise, and that all beings abide here with all their needs completely fulfilled, so that they can abide in lasting and stable happiness. This meditation, one engages in again and again in the same session, like a circular meditation, where one reflects first on, or generates compassion and altruism, thereafter taking on all the sufferings of both the environment as well as beings, and by imagining that the world becomes an environment freed of any problem or difficulty, and that the beings who abide there also do not experience any troubles or difficulties at all. Thereafter, one generates love and as for all beings, and giving one's virtue and happiness to them, imagining now that their beings abide in physical and mental happiness, and the environment is one of peace and tranquility. And they continue in the same meditation again and again in the same session. Whilst one is engaging in this meditation, generating sequentially compassion and love and the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, which is where one takes responsibility for the welfare of others, naturally from this will also come about the determination, and in order to really bring this about, I have to become the most skilled of guides. I will become a Buddha in order to lead all beings to enlightenment and fulfill the pledge I've made to them. And then the verse concludes with Vasa, the fourth line. Please bless me to take miserable conditions as a path. So here, I've now presented this meditation in a brief or concise manner on how to transform adverse circumstances or adverse conditions or suffering onto the path. The result of doing so is that immediately our mind becomes, on the one hand, both peaceful and calm, and on the other, powerful and determined. And through this, both joy and inner strength that arises, the attainment of actual bodhicitta and enlightenment itself draws ever nearer. So we conclude this meditation then, returning to our Lama, requesting his blessings, his inspiration, that we may be successful in fulfilling this goal. In the conclusion in this meditation, we return to our lamas for blessing and inspiration. We will also do so with the recognition that this training is challenging, it's difficult. So returning to our lama with an openness and a sincerity that he holds us and he guides us in this crucial but challenging training. We have a very clear understanding that all suffering comes about in dependence on causes. We can intellectually understand that when we experience suffering, that cause is now being eliminated. But we need to train our mind in this again and again so that in the face of any adversity, immediately our mind turns to this training. And when we're facing an adverse circumstance, joy arises, recognizing that from this unwanted circumstance, I have now eliminated a negative karmic imprint. And not only that, when one has then gone through the meditation of taking and giving and generating love and compassion, recognize not only have I eradicated a harmful, a non-virtuous imprint, but through this meditation, I've created causes for bodhicitta. So not only have I eradicated a cause of, not only as a cause of suffering being exhausted, I have created causes to become a bodhisattva. Thinking like this, joy will arise in our mind, and this will encourage us to continue in this training. Moreover, as we gain skill in this, and we continue in this meditation, we'll come to recognize that when we do encounter these adverse circumstances, which we will continue to encounter as long as we remain bound in samsara, instead of responding in the way that I used to, which was perhaps getting angry or frustrated, and thereby creating causes for further suffering, now I'm creating causes for enlightenment. And in this way, as one becomes ever more skilled in this, one embraces adverse circumstances, seeing them, seeing their potential. So here, when we turn to our lamas to hold us and to guide us, we have this as our goal in mind. Now we come to the training in transforming problems onto the path through ultimate bodhicitta. So the 96th verse was doing so through conventional bodhicitta, and the 97th will be through ultimate bodhicitta.
Please bless the translation, the older translation. Please bless me to transform whatever appearances may arise, good or bad, into a path ever enhancing the two bodhicittas. Through the practice of the five forces, quintessence of the entire Dharma, and attune myself solely to the bliss of the mind. So looking at the first line, and here now I read the newer translation. In short, no matter what appearances arise, be they good or bad. So in short, so this then links to what was also presented before, which is that one is going to experience suffering, unwanted experiences, suffering experiences. And the verse continues, referring to any variety, whether they are wanted or unwanted, good or bad.
Controlling, 然后经常是来几步热去的，除了几步热要对，你去买点白菜，俺几点呀？俺经常家里家当，俺吃饭家的，俺就要么不家的。其实刚刚就刚刚提的个别，要么不家，什么去买当？刚刚提用过的，我们的那个当然几步热去，来了就对个别，俺就提点了，俺那样就要么不家当，俺就俺家家了，说不对下家了，说不对，对那个俺就要么不家用过的，用西边的用过的。
Staying with the first line, no matter what appearances arise, be they good or bad. So this refers to the way we relate to feeling tones that arise, whether they are those of suffering or happiness. So if we're experiencing suffering, then this can lead to other minds arising, such as becoming depressed or becoming downhearted. Similarly, when we experience happiness, even if it's in relation to recalling the Dharma, afflictions may also accompany this, such as pride or attachment. So here we're looking, when it says, no matter what appearances arise, be they good or bad, this should be understood that you mean to be very broad, whatever arises.
And then, you do kapla, and then you get on a ganga yombi kabinata, and this is it, tihid and tibu yombi in the kabinata, this is you do kapla, sim and shumbada, sim yomo piki, yomo jeg, one mafon, matanwaje. Then the Kachora Lambda, Nadisha Banaja Ganga Chino de Kabla, and the Shisha Banaja Ganga Tiki, Jawanga Mitibi Tibuha, Minjeta, the Minjeta, the Taru Gores, Mongba, the New Moya, and this is Chagores and Begasam Dayada. And then you saw Sugi that Ndigiro Lui Tibuta, Sim Gibur Chobine, and then you get what he chasa on a Digi Chasa, so Sugi Kawa, Jawanga Mirinada, that in the Ting, Gawa Chabalat in the Yungur, Jesus Chasa on a Lama当，所属的也确定的Lama，给别个交完年龄，天天天的结果嘞，天天开完天天结果嘞，是别个，那每个人做蓝天级别个嘞，天天所属开完啥，开完地嘞，天天所属地区用完嘞，其实天天啥，天天个情况地区用完，其实啥，蓝每个土级个天天天都用完，三百个，哎呀，那么呀，那你个人接着接啊当，那你这个，我都是呢，你开完，那等于呢，开完刚土就少糊涂三百个，三大都是呢，你三当过嘞，谢谢。
其实今天三大为呢，俺这个要么不也给几个嘛了哇？俺家家的对象工作家里个嘛，其实第几句话的个，其实俺这给为家务接活嘞，给娃用啊这样，男女的几个接活，老老点接活嘞，对的话，男女出去给点衣裳别给多些呢。但你把接活呢，说说俺家家的当工作家哟，要么了哇，就是家钱嘛了哇。但呀，你刚刚用的刚刚的这个特别接活，你来啥的，这不民国了，其实这活的他的名字忙不呢，要么还差个的，嗯，三大为提醒了三大为呢，就三大为呢，俺那个接活谁做过嘞？现在这个都三大为呢，第同样见着呢，什么新吧的，俺那俺这吃个嘛了哇，要么不接的用过嘛了哇，这那三大过来些。
Yeah, So here then, the training in the first verse is to be aware or mindful of whatever arises in the mind, recognizing that if, for example, it's an experience of suffering, that this has come about in dependence on a cause that was accumulated in a past life, it is now ripened and is being exhausted. Therefore, there's no need to become depressed or dispirited or downhearted. This cause of suffering is now being exhausted. So here, we were calling cause and effect and recognizing that we are purifying in this way. And this serves to guard our mind from falling further down. Similarly, though, when an experience of happiness ripens in the mind. Recognize that that too has come about in dependence on causes. Those
virtuous causes that one created in a past life was done so under the care and the skillful guidance of one's Lama. So one can generate now an appreciation for the training that one has received, and thereby are experiencing wanted or pleasant experiences now. Therefore, any feeling of pride or attachment is misplaced, and we can guard our mind from being under the influence of afflictions. So being mindful that whatever arises in the mind has come about in dependence on causes. Therefore, there is no need to become either dispirited or proud of ourselves. There's no need for any affliction at all. It can be looked at as either the exhaustion of a negative karmic imprint or the experience of a wholesome karmic imprint that came about in dependence on the guidance of our Lama, for example. Moving into the second line, which is in the English, the third line, but they're quite different from either translation. So the first line, I'll read from the new translation because that's precise. In short, no matter what appearances arise, be they good or bad, then it's followed with what we have in English in the third line, the quiescence of the entire Dharma. So what this refers to is that, it rather refers to, so the word for Dharma can also mean all phenomena. And so we have here entire Dharma, so understand rather as meaning all phenomena. Then the next word, which we have as, the word for entire Dharma, rather understand as meaning all phenomena. And the word we have as quiescence is also the word for the heart or the essence of. So the essence of all phenomena, and then all phenomena is relating to what we had in the first line, which was whatever appearances arise, be they good or bad. So and again, whatever arises in one's mind, its very essence of all phenomena is that it is empty of existing by way of its own essence. So this is where we see one turns to ultimate bodhicitta to transform problems onto the path. So I'll say it again because it's quite different in the English. What we have in the third line, the quiescence of the entire Dharma, maybe the essence of all phenomena, referring to whatever arises in the mind, it is empty of existing in the way that it appears.
Mo Gwane Kodu Pegi, Nemlichelpa, Okay, let's read now the rest of the verse.
So, into a path ever enhancing the two bodhicittas through the practice of the five forces, quiescence of the entire Dharma, and attune myself solely to the bliss of the mind.
The meaning then of the remainder of the verse is that through the practice of the five forces, may one's two bodhicittas, the conventional and the ultimate bodhicitta, may these grow in strength, from strength to strength, and thereby may one's mental bliss, may this too develop.
Let's look then at the five forces. So the first one is, maybe we could say the force of, because five forces could also be the five powers, it's the same word. So the first force would be the force of promise or commitment, where one commits or promises to cultivate love, compassion, and bodhicitta again and again so that they grow in power.
Dikomia, the Jamia, Semja, Tamjidun, Sanjogoba, Toku, the Janjusim, Gomgu, Sembe, Tombani, Tobesher, Gomgu, the Digomba, Gomgu, Sembe, Yane, and the Sam Tadi, Pembe, Topje. Dine, Gombe, Topse, Sosuke, Yane, and Gombadi, Gomjadi, the Tishi, and the Semja, Mibi, Ninja, Gom. 아니 심지어 미비게 잠바콤 되네 소소나게 심지어 담지 산요고바 토벌쇼 심비게 장쇼 샘콤이야다 되네 그래서 되네 최근 강아 같이 강아다 디지다 같이 쇼바 차상 다신 지베스나 강라 되바 랑문 주바 좀 싸우게 메아 심비 동반이 공반이 뒤쳐서 공반이 공배 돕식으로 공반
The first force is that of the force of the promise, where one commits to cultivating love and compassion and bodhicitta, thereby taking all problems and sufferings onto the path and transforming them into the path. And this one does in relation to all suffering beings, whether the sufferings arising from their environment or from their afflictions. So again, relating to the first line of the previous verse. Then the second force is that of meditation, where one commits to utilizing meditation on topics such as love, compassion, bodhicitta, as well as emptiness, and thereby transform problems onto the path.
Tene some diet, Tene, and then also combated a computopsia chegrua, must combine computopsia.
So, between the two, the first two forces, the first is the promise to engage in these meditations, and the second is to, the force of the meditation is to actually engage in the meditation. So, the first is the commitment, the second is the actual practice of meditation. The third force then is that of the antidote, where one commits to destroying the source of suffering, grasping at oneself as dear through applying the antidotes. And the antidotes will be in two sections. On the one side, love and compassion. These are antidotes to grasping at oneself as dear. So too then is the second class of antidote, that of meditation on emptiness.
The
fourth then is the seed, maybe you could say, the force of the white seed. It's probably something like that. The force of the white seed, literally. What it means is accumulation and purification. That one will commit here to engaging in practices of to accumulate virtue and purify non-virtue. So through doing the primary meditations of love, compassion, and emptiness, as well as engaging in companion physical practices under the influence of the minds of love, compassion, and the wisdom realizing emptiness, such as circumambulation, making prostrations, making offerings to one's Lama, Yidam, and the Buddhas, and so forth. So the fourth force is that of the force of the white seed, which means accumulation and purification. Again, the meaning of this is, if you just use the terms accumulation and purification, that is clearer. And the meaning is that one meditates on love, compassion, and cultivates the wisdom realizing emptiness. In this way, both accumulates and purifies, and whilst having those minds dominant within oneself, one engages in other virtuous activities, such as circumambulation, prostrations, and offerings.
The fifth
force is that of prayer, and this then prayer then refers to dedication, where all the virtue that one has, is, and will accumulate, all this virtue one dedicates to the welfare of all mother sentient beings. And there's a wide variety of ways that one dedicates, but in brief, it's so that they attain a state freed of suffering.
That 아니 가서 소소기 되네 제는데 아니 가려 오면서 소소리 일이야 아니 이대 바식스도 소소리 일이 되와 심지어 탐제리야 이 류동아 매버 류심니글에 되기 바시 용어 쇼어서 봐 되와 바시 규규와 뭐와 뭐와다 되네 냠네 타진 뭐 용어에게 아니 진일로 라메 진일로 쉐세야 돼 이대 바시 공부 진일로 소이 이 대와 소소기 되네 냠네 빼야 보래 선비게 고미야다 아니 제야리야 아니 되네게 대시 개와 사발한 때네 시엔 류대와다 셈죠 바시기 치료인 시엔 디기 바시기 치료인 셈벽 꼬미야데 시엔 디기 양약의 치료 공고를 받아 지난 소수게 잠니죠 꼬미야다 자주스 동 동바이 도벽 꼬미야 차다 시엔 셈제 동안에 대야다 셈지 디기 류에 그 바시기 치료 그 코니 치료 바시기 람나 소수게 땀년라 양약다 소수게 체병이 치료 말에 셈징이 치료 인셈데 Dini samdang gom gore, dini ki nyamlindi talsimba yonbiga lamiye na jingi labro chiye yasaji, disungur.
Let's briefly then summarize these five forces. The first was that of the promise, where one made through the force of the promise or the commitment to meditate on these, on love, compassion, bodhicitta, one then engages through that in the second force, which is the actual meditation on these three. And then the third was the three being love, compassion, bodhicitta as one, and then emptiness as well. Then the third force is that of the antidote, which again, the antidote to the fault of grasping at oneself as dear, those antidotes are love, compassion, and emptiness. And the fourth force, accumulation and purification, is engaged in through meditating on love, compassion, and emptiness, and having those consciousnesses dominant in all other activities, thereby accumulating vast stores of virtue and engaging in purification too. And then this merit that one is accumulating, one dedicated to the welfare of all beings. And here, again, when reciting one's dedication prayers, one has presence in one's mind, love, compassion, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. So this then is the meaning of the five forces. And the last line, and attune myself solely to the bliss of the mind, or the newer translation, and thus to meditate only on mental happiness. So what this, here where we're turning to the Lama for his blessings, we are asking for blessings so that our mind is focused in meditation, our mind is solely focused on the bliss of enlightenment for all sentient beings, or all sentient beings to attain the bliss of enlightenment. So this is what we are asking for blessings in regard to. Maybe to try to express it more clearly, when we are asking for blessings, we are asking for blessings that at the forefront of our mind is the welfare of others, that we do not engage in this practice of transforming problems onto the path through ultimate bodhicitta for our own welfare. We have at the forefront of our mind the welfare of others. We have no concern for ourselves, but our concern is for others.
Eta dhanda juge kanga rindu yu kanga dhile samtang je, an di ya ngevi chola gyurtuwe che, di di res, gyurtuwa che go res, jiza da samtang ta du su shin tang go res, samtang ta di ma di lab go rindu na di nyingbo dhiruwa da.
So the essence of what we've looked at tonight is how to transform what would otherwise be problems, sufferings, and difficulties that we experience into virtue. So thank you. We can conclude there for tonight. But if you have some questions, then please feel free to ask. Simple.
I just want to feel what the last, when it says meditate only on mental happiness, is that mental happiness that real wish about others that have the bliss of it.
Okay. So in the fourth line, is it referring to the mental happiness? Is it referring to may others experience the mental happiness of enlightenment?
Well, our own joy in wanting that for others.
Okay.
Is that what it's been?
Okay.
I wasn't quite clear what it was referring to.
Before I give Genla's answer, I'll read just literally what the Tibetan says. Mental happiness or bliss, only meditate and bless me, or blessing.
And which line is that?
Fourth line, it's all fourth line. So if you look at the phonetics, where yi is a mind, dewa or de, this is the bliss or happiness. Bashik, so this is only, gom is meditate, and then bless as a verb, chintilab. So it doesn't specify the recipient. So one should, it's an article in this commentary, one should understand it to refer to all sentient beings. Primarily, that the object of our meditation, so all suffering mother sentient beings, attain the mental happiness, so that's the first two words, yi, dewa, the mental happiness or bliss of enlightenment. And then secondly, and ourselves as well. So like that. Okay. Because with this expression, all sentient beings, that will include us anyway. But at the focus of the bodhisattva's mind is my suffering mother sentient beings. Thank you.